Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction.
Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 14 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. Today, Wednesday, not my usual Tuesday, but I'm pulling it together and giving you this show a little bit late. Today, I'm excited to get to talk with you about karma and the threefold law, probably because I'm always prone to going in against the grain a little bit and taking the piss out of some of the more persistent fear-based beliefs within the spiritual community. So, I can't resist doing this show. But first, I'd like to read you a quote by Wayne Dyer. And he says, "How people treat you is their karma. How you react is yours." Isn't that great? I definitely use the word karma in a kind of loose slang way. But do I believe in it as a spiritual principle? Not so much. That's why I went out of my way to grab a lot of quotes from my favorite books for this episode so that it won't turn into a 30-minute soapbox about Joanna's oh-so-important opinion, because I know it's just my opinion and that many of you do believe in karma and the threefold law. So I do not mean to offend. I just hope to be able to maybe open some minds and definitely relieve those of you who have fear-based ideas about the law of karma and the threefold law, which is sometimes called the law of three. That quote by Wayne Dyer really rings true for me because more than karma, I believe in good old-fashioned cause and effect. So if someone treats you poorly and you react by treating them poorly, then you just get an exhausting, pointless game of bad vibe ping pong going on. It's like, you hurt me, I hurt you. Oh, yeah? You hurt me back? I hurt you back more. And on it goes. And the sad thing is it causes a rippling out effect in which both people end up bringing that energy into their homes and workplace. And it doesn't stop with the enemy. It actually continues to affect your interactions with other people throughout the day, which might end up looking a lot like karma, but I just think that's just good old cause and effect and that you don't have to be a part of that. So should you turn the other cheek, as Jesus says? Maybe not. You don't have to be a glutton for punishment. You don't have to continue to take their nonsense. You can recognize that the hot potato that they're trying to throw your way is really all about them, and you can move out of its way, letting it drop onto the ground like the steaming hot turd it is. And then you walk away. And if they continue to try to get this game of hot potato going with you, you can choose to keep letting it fall to the ground until they get bored and go off in search of another target or another person to play this weird game of bad vibe ping pong with them. Or you can calmly explain that you don't play that game. And when it comes to karma as a spiritual truth, it reminds me a lot of the Wiccan threefold law, or in magic it is sometimes called the law of three, meaning whatever you send out into the universe, whether by magic or action, will come back to you for better or worse times three. Times three, eh? Scary. And who came up with this number? Really, I mean, who is the first person to come up with a threefold law? I would like to know. It also reminds me of the Christian idea of heaven and hell. which to me is just a system of reward and punishment put in place to keep people in line. But is that really necessary? Do we really need to scare people into behaving? When I was a kid, a youth pastor told me and a group of equally wide-eyed, God-fearing children that hell, and he really did say this, it's so crazy, but he said hell was like being repeatedly stabbed, set on fire, and pushed off a cliff all at the same time for all eternity. Suffice it to say, we were all terrified, and that image has stuck with me to this day. And I actually contemplated it so much as a kid, being stabbed, set on fire, and falling off a cliff all at the same time for all eternity. And really, pastor who shall remain nameless, was that necessary? It wasn't even effective. So many of the kids I grew up with in church rebelled like crazy once they got to high school. And they also were kind of a mess beyond that, too, and had a lot of like healing work to do. But when we got to high school, there was all manner of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, totally fulfilling that oft-reported cliche of the good little Christian turning wild. So when I think about that, the threefold law and the law of karma doesn't seem half as bad, really. In fact, I don't think they're bad at all. They're actually lovely concepts if you choose to honor them and if you choose to believe in them. Christopher Pinsak, in his book, The Inner Temple of Witchcraft, says that karma is a Sanskrit word for the energy generated by our actions. I like that. But then he goes on to say, particularly in relationship to future incarnations, or wait, I'm not even going to read that, because in order to believe that, you have to believe in past lives. And I don't know that I do. I have had some past life memories, or what felt like past life memories, and I've always been fascinated by past life regression therapy, and especially the work of Dr. Brian Weiss. The stories he tells are extremely compelling. I just can't help but wonder, though, if when we are having these experiences, if we aren't tapping into ancestral memories or the collective unconscious, if we're all part of the whole and a piece of the divine, wouldn't it stand to reason that in a holographic universe, we have the capacity as individuals to experience the memories of everyone? Just saying. I know my propensity for playing around with ideas like this can be annoying to some people, but this is just how my mind works, and I like to stay open to the possibilities. I live for the mystery. And you know what's interesting? I did a collab channel on YouTube with a handful of witches that was called Journey Through the Temple, in which we studied that book as a group, The Inner Temple of Witchcraft. And we took each of the 13 chapters moon to moon to make for a full year and a day study. And what was interesting was that when it came time to talk about the section on karma, not one person was a full-on believer. We all had our questions and doubts and issues about this so-called law. And that was just a really smart group anyway. It was really fun doing that with them. And don't go looking for Journey Through the Temple on YouTube, because it's all set to private. I haven't taken the channel down yet, but it's been on private now for almost 2 years, I think. Anyway, in that book, Christopher Pinsak explains, maybe just a year, I don't know, it doesn't matter, you can't see the videos. In that book, The Inner Temple of Witchcraft, Christopher Pinsak explains that witches call it the Law of Three. And I do love the way he puts it as being related to the principle of vibration, saying similar vibrations attract each other. And I really dig the way he explains that there is no judgment in the witch's world, but instead cause and effect. Energy will return to its source. Now that I can get into, and that's why I love Christopher Pinsak. For one, he's a great teacher. He's also very fair and non-dogmatic in his explanations, and that is really important for me as a student, I need somebody who talks to me that way. Otherwise, what they're saying will fall on deaf ears. And he ends that section of the book by saying that karma does affect us, but we are never fated into events beyond our control. Magic has taught me that we are all capable of choosing and manifesting our own fate. We all have free will, though our soul and karma may be leading us in a certain direction to help us find balance and remembrance. Thank you, Christopher. Oh, sorry, I just got a little wave. I am feeling better, but not perfect yet. My throat sounds a little fuzzy, too, and I'm very winded. I got sick yesterday, for those of you who don't follow me on Facebook, and that is why my show did not go, and right now I'm like having a huge kind of hot flash woozy moment. Okay, bear with me. Okay. Going back to what Christopher was saying about karma, it does affect us, but it doesn't have to control us, and it can help you, you know, find balance and remembrance in your life. The way he puts it reminds me so much of my beloved dog-eared, used and abused copy of Jan Spiller's Astrology for the Soul. And that is a book that I have read many times, and I've owned it at least a dozen years. So it's pretty beat up. But I love it. I'm like trying to keep it together at this point because the binding's getting so loose. And that book really helped me to understand myself and the people around me on a whole other level. She actually works with nodal astrology, which is different than most astrology you're going to find in astrology books, you know, that show you your sun sign and your moon sign and your ascendant. So the sign your south node is in affects the parts of yourself that need working on. And the sign your north node is in, which will be the sign directly across from your north node on the astrological chart, reveals the qualities you need to develop. So your south node is kind of like your weaknesses, and your north node are your strengths that are sort of lying in wait for you to discover and develop. And she believes that our past lives are reflected in this nodal duality, and that, let's say you're a king in a past life, you may now have to overcome your sense of self-entitlement and superiority in order to form more genuine, humble bonds with the people in your life this time around. Or say you are practically housebound and very much taken care of by your family in a past life. So this time around, you know, the universe may be pushing you out of the nest and into the world to make your own way and find independence. Now, as skeptical as I can sometimes be about these things, this book really has an eerie knack for nailing the personalities of people, or at least the people that I have looked up in the book, and they're always so surprised too. They always say, that's me! And that's the experience I had when I read the chapter that relates to me. And you get a nice big chapter for those of you who like to think about yourself and do some navel gazing. It certainly pegged me. And I think that even though it's not a book per se about karma, it does an excellent job of explaining how past incarnations may have set you up for new lessons to experience in this time, lessons that will bring you into balance. And even if it's just a coincidence that the chapter on the North Node in Capricorn describes me to a T, I am not writing it off and have actually been able to achieve a lot by applying what I've learned there. So, good stuff. Deepak Chopra is another person who has a unique and interesting take on karma. He does believe in the law of karma. I believe he comes from a Hindu background, so I think he just grew up with that. But he also believes there are ways of getting around it. And I think that's so funny because, of course, people would come up with ways for getting around this rule, you know. Of course. He says in the Book of Secrets that being doesn't act. Therefore, it is never touched by karma. Isn't that interesting? From that perspective, what you do creates karma. But if you can just be, you will be karma free. I don't know how many of us in today's world can just be. Doing is pretty essential to living. But really, even if you're a monk meditating on a hill for a decade, you're still doing. You're doing meditation on a hill. I think what he means is practicing being in the now, being fully present in each moment without forcing yourself onto the future. At least that's my take on it. Another way he mentions in the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, another interesting book, another way he mentions of getting away karma is by saying that you can transmute or transform your karma to a more desirable experience by asking yourself, as you are paying a karmic debt, what can I learn from this experience? Why is this happening, and what is the message that the universe is giving to me? How can I make this experience useful to my fellow beings? He goes on to explain that by doing this, you are looking for the seed of opportunity and then tying that seed of opportunity in with your dharma or purpose in life. And I totally get that. And that's actually something that I do in my own life and have been doing for so long I can't even remember when I started doing it, if only to make lemonade out of lemons. It's just, you know, a better way of handling the bad things that come your way, you know, instead of pissing and moaning about it and resisting, which tends to just make it worse. I don't necessarily ascribe it to karma, although in some cases it looks a lot like it. Now I know I've already warned you that I would be quoting a lot of books in this episode. And really, what else is new? I am a book quoting fool, but there are two more books that I want to mention, and they are both very witchy. The first is Silver Ravenwolf's infamous Encyclopedia of Witchcraft. It's not called that. It's called Solitary Witch. But it's like a big encyclopedia. And in that book, she talks about the saying, do what you wilt, and it harm none, which has become the most popular, most frequently quoted line of the Wiccan Read. And I think that what she has to say about that applies perfectly to the threefold law as well. She says that many new students to the craft stub their toe on this rule, and that a few never seem to overcome the worry that every time they do magic, they are somehow tinkering with the universe in a way that they shouldn't. She also goes on to say that everyone's thoughts already tinker with the universe by the way of the collective unconscious and quantum physics. Therefore, doing magic is actually more intelligent than letting your thoughts fly all over the place. How do you like that? I like it very much. I also like that she goes on to explain that the word read comes from Old English and means to guide or direct. It does not mean to lie down and let life run over you. And it harm none is a moral, spiritual soundbite. It is not a hard and fast rule. And finally, I have to mention The Secret Within. The Secret Within by Diane Sylvan is such a graceful book. Diane Sylvan is a class act, and she's not a witch who just goes around lying into everyone's dogma. And I just have a special place in my heart for people who think and feel for themselves, which she certainly does. And what she has to say about the threefold law is no exception. She says that ethics is a minefield in popular discussion, and that for every law you can come up with, there's at least a dozen exceptions. I actually think that's the reason so many people have a problem with the law of attraction, which is one of my pet principles, as you probably know. It's in the title of my show. But that's a whole other conversation. What she's talking about is how this applies to the Wiccan read, and especially the threefold law, which she points out gets plenty of play in TV shows about witches. She says, do something naughty and you'll get it right back. Isn't that handy? She goes on to say that in real life, of course, it doesn't always work out so neatly. The bad guy gets away. The nice girl walks out in front of the crosstown bus on her way to feed the homeless. What happened there? If everything comes back threefold, why aren't teachers covered in diamonds and child molesters covered in blood? Good point, Diane. She also says that the threefold law is usually treated as a throwback to our old religious training of be a good girl or the boogeyman will get you. We have, as a community, latched onto this concept because it is a familiar, comfortable model of punishment and reward that we are used to from our Christianity background. And that sounds familiar, right? That's exactly how I feel about it. And what she has to say next is also exactly how I feel about it. And just a great way to wrap up the show. She says, if you are of the mindset that everything on earth is a part of the goddess and God, and that all things are connected, you won't be the sort of person who will need the law of three to tell you how to behave. Amen, and cheers to that. I think that if you are a kind person who cares about the lives of the people around you, the health of the planet, I don't really think that you need systems of reward and punishment to keep you in place. I think there are a myriad of ways of looking at karma, and some for me are more valid than others, and some for you may be valid than others. But I just like to, you know, explore our differences and put my little, oh, what is it that Jackie Dubois says? I can't remember, my two-cent opinion or something like that. You guys can correct me. You probably watch Jackie's channel. Anyway, thanks again for joining me for this episode of Hippie Witch, Magic for a New Age, and thanks so much for being patient with me and having to postpone the show. I am, despite being a little winded and queasy, feeling much better today, and I thank you all so much who sent me healing vibes and well wishes on Facebook. It worked! It totally worked. I feel so much better today. And I think I'm looking up here. I did this once before. I am doing Pixie Campbell's Soul Lodge. Do any of you know what that is? It is super cool. I'm doing her Soul Lodge this year, and it's kind of like a shamanic journeying group of women. It's all women. I think men are welcome too, but it so far it's just women, and every month there's a new totem animal and like all these lessons and guided meditations and like journal prompts and stuff like that. And this month we are doing wolf, which is so awesome because ever since I read Women Who Run with the Wolves, I've not only been obsessed with that book, I see wolves everywhere. And if you are a woman and you haven't read that book, what are you waiting for? It is a huge life changer, I'm telling you. And so what I was saying I've done before and that I'm going to do right now is I just pulled up a video on YouTube, and I'm going to put my phone up to the computer, and hopefully the sound will be okay on this and you will hear it, because I want to play you Devendra Banhart's Hey Mama Wolf on my way out, sending you all tons of love, and hopefully I will see you next Tuesday at 9 a.m. Much love. Peace.
When I'm in the woods, I know what to call you now. When I'm in the woods, I know what to call you now. Hey, mama, wolf. Hey, mama, wolf. Well, maybe the mounds know what to call you now. Maybe the mounds know what to call you now. Hey, my, my, whoa. Hey, my, my, whoa. Land, 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 land. When I'm in a womb, I know what to call you now. And when a belly blooms, I know what to call you now. Hey, my, my, whoa. I'm Saint Marie, I know what to call you now. Swimming in the sea, I know what to call you now. And when you swim with me, I know what to call you now. And when you're under me, I know what to call you now. Hey, my, my, oh. Hey, my, my.
Love you guys.